Hello, welcome to the Jumpstart Podcast with Jefflytics. I'm your host, Jeff Sauer. Today, for our 53rd episode, I wanted to talk to you about hustling, the negative connotations for the term hustle, and how you should never be apologizing for the efforts that you make. You're going to be able to find this one at jefflytics.com/hustle. Now, I'm coming to you again from Tallinn in Estonia, riding high from an invigorating weekend at the Digital Elite Camp. By the time you listen to this episode, I'll be back in Minneapolis getting ready for the MN Search Summit, where I'm going to be presenting this Friday. And after that, I feel like slipping into a long, dark period of rest and relaxation on the lakes and rivers in Minnesota. But before I leave Estonia, I wanted to offer a quick recap of the fun times that I've had during the event and how I met new friends, met some existing students, and just gained so much value over my week here. And since this is all still fresh in my mind, I wanted to talk about all this and share some insights along the way. So let's start with the setting. Now, Estonia is just south of Finland, which many people call the land of the midnight sun, especially up in their Lapland area. And we are 3 days from the longest day of the year. Actually, when you listen to this, it might be the longest day of the year. Sunset happens at 10:30. That's the official one, but the sun never goes down. You just have this little pink hue always on the horizon. So the sun barely goes over the horizon line, but it never really gets pitch black here. It's crazy. And then the sun starts rising again at like 2:30 a.m., which I actually happened to witness, and I'll admit to doing it once. But basically, as I was walking along the Baltic Sea on my way from one location where we were having a party to the next party location, I saw the sun rise. And so that was the earliest I've ever witnessed a sunrise myself. But I was up all night, and basically by the time that I finally went to bed, it was perfectly bright out at about 5:30 in the morning. Now, this is not going to be mentioning the impending hangover that I had or anything like that. I just wanted to set the setting for you. Because actually, storytelling is what I want to talk about in my first point. So let's talk about some of the things that I've learned while I've been here in Estonia. The first is the importance of storytelling. For my presentation at the conference, I decided to do a somewhat new approach to sharing information. I think it went over really well. Instead of talking just about attribution modeling and sharing my knowledge, I decided to weave in stories to make attribution more real to people. Because now I assume that everybody's played around with the attribution modeling tool in Google Analytics or has read articles about attribution. I think that for a lot of people, it's just they don't even know what it is, or they understand the concept, but they've never really heard it in context. But everybody understands stories. So I did the presentation in front of my wife a couple days beforehand, and she picked it apart. She's basically saying it's not very good and really gave me some priceless feedback. And it was great because she represents somebody who's never even heard of attribution before. That she still didn't know what attribution was after my 30-minute presentation. It's like, how could I go through this entire presentation building a deck and I still didn't even tell her what it was about? And so she's going to be helping me with everything moving forward because she represents a really solid opinion as to how to look at these things from an outsider perspective. And it worked out. I went up on stage and I was the last one to go on the first day of the conference, which is always a difficult slot because everybody wants to do happy hour and stuff like that. And I went up there and I felt like Frank the Tank from the movie Old School. I just like blacked out a little bit and delivered, and it was great. And throughout that conference afterwards, people were like, I love the story, I can relate to it, that was my favorite presentation because of it. And it is good because it was funny. You know, going back to our last episode, I was talking about how do I inject more of my real personality into Jefflytics, and it worked. So doing storytelling has really worked. And many people came up to me and said, you're my top two presentations. And honestly, that hasn't really happened to me in a long time. I'm usually sort of boring because I'm so worried about getting the facts right and presenting facts that I don't really weave a story into it. And this time I was like, let's do story first, facts second, technical explanations absolutely last. And so I didn't get into the technical details. I didn't try to over-explain the nitty-gritty of it. I basically just talked about the story. And it really did pay off because everybody can relate to stories. I did use some funny stories about attribution to get my point across, but it got me thinking is like, I need to weave stories into everything I do. And I have done this in the past. It depends on how much time I have. If I think about something for a long enough time, I will incorporate a story into it. But if I'm just under pressure to get something done, I don't incorporate a story. And that's probably the ones that don't do very well. So I guess you could say that I'm doing it on this podcast too. I mean, I think this podcast, the reason why people like the personal ones is because I'm weaving a narrative. I'm telling you a story. I'm giving you context, telling you as much as I can about how we learned what we learned. And so now in this podcast, you have a picture of me at this conference, middle of the night, but it's the midnight sun. Having consumed an undisclosed number of beers during a marathon 12-hour party session, just soaking in everything around me. And I'm just so full of ideas that I wanted to share with you some of these ideas that I got. So that brings me to point number two. Know your audience and make sure you put everything into context. So one of the most highly regarded and profitable blog posts that I have involves a story about how I was getting on stage in Copenhagen back in 2014. And I was going to be giving an offer to the audience for the first time. It was a free download in exchange for somebody's email address. And I was a little bit apprehensive about the whole thing. You see, I had just started working with a speaking coach a few months before, and she was adamant that every speech that I gave needed to be an opportunity to sell something. I think she even called it something like speak to sell. And her recommendation was that I create a handout that I would pass out to everyone in attendance. So like basically a sheet of paper I would carry with me to Copenhagen, print it out, and they would write down their three takeaways, their name and their email address, and then they would hand it to me after the presentation. So could you imagine that, like being in an academic setting where they would just give me a piece of paper in the end? It's like the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And then I would have to read all the answers, see which ones were sales prospects, and then add them to my email list manually. And I was like, fuck that noise. This is 2014. So I sat in my hotel room, and after a bout of food poisoning, yes, and for real food poisoning, not that food poisoning that millennials call when they're hungover and don't want to go to work, I created a landing page that offered a free download. Now, to get to that point, I had been stressing over the tools. I tried a bunch of things, and I finally built the page like 20 minutes before my speech using a tool called OptimizePress. And this tool is so helpful that I wrote a blog post about it using that exact story, basically a story I just told you with even more details in it. And it started performing really well, started ranking for Google. I noticed the traffic was coming in, so I dropped an affiliate link for OptimizePress in there. And it makes me thousands of dollars each year just from one post where I used this storytelling method. So we'll link to that in our show notes so you can take a look at it. But why was it so successful? Because it was real. It was a real use case. People were wondering, how do you use OptimizePress and is it worthwhile? And then I told them exactly how I used it. And they're like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. This is the way to use it. And so I was able to show how the software genuinely solved my problem. And it delivered on the promises of being quick to doing things. And people were just really happy about it. And it still gets comments. I still get random emails saying, hey, your story really compelled me. And I'm just buying this software just to support you because I liked your story a lot. Why was this successful and everything else isn't? Because it was a combination of location, context, and just a bunch of stuff to make the story compelling. People wanted to, they kept on reading to see what happened next and to see what conclusion I had. And that's really the value that it provided. And so why can't you do that in everything? Why can't I do that in every single piece of content I publish? Why can't I do that in every presentation? Actually, that's a rhetorical question because I think I can. It just comes down to time and it just comes down to timing to be able to have all stars align. But that brings me to number three. It can't be all story, though. The story should support the meat. Too much backstory and people are going to start to check out. That's simple as that. If people think that they're getting too much backstory and they're not getting to a conclusion, or if it's just, you know, wrap it up already, that's bad. But sometimes people think that they need no story at all, and I think they're just fooling themselves because, frankly, all facts is boring and all story is boring. And while you can get by with just facts, you're not going to be winning over many fans. You know, you can just write something as a factual way, but nobody has an emotional, visceral reaction to it when you're just providing facts. So you want to wrap that fact burger up in a story-sized bun, and you will see the best results when you do it that way. And okay, I'm officially past the point where telling any story is beneficial. That was like the worst analogy I've ever given. But I'm going to move on anyway. Number four, this is when things start getting real. Now, my online courses have had somewhere around 7,000 students to date, and these people are from all over the world, and each person has a backstory to share. But they never really share that information with me when I ask via email or a forum post. So I'll say, hey, introduce yourself to me, respond to a question, let me know about you, and I'll get very little in return. Maybe it's email deliverability, maybe they're just busy. They're probably just busy. And the vast majority of people just take the course and then move on to the next thing. So it's really hard to tell if I actually made an impact because I'm not really hearing from people. So I just assume that they're moderately happy, haven't gotten a lot of negative reviews, very few people asking for refunds, or that they just didn't even get to the course, or they just didn't care. Then I go to events like this one in Estonia, and these names on the purchase receipts become real. Throughout the conference, there was a steady stream of people who came up to me and thanked me for teaching them analytics, PPC, and how to run an agency. So they've taken all three of my courses. People in the audience are all students. And these students are using their skills to make better marketing decisions in Estonia, Bosnia, Poland, Ukraine, Greece, Ireland, Finland, Sweden, the Netherlands, and all over the world. It really is a real thing. It doesn't always seem that way, but this is a real thing. But you know what really has me freaking out? It's that my efforts to put myself out there, recording into a microphone, staring at a screen for months at a time, it all became worth it in that moment. Now, I've always thought the courses were worth it, so don't get me wrong. Don't confuse me and say that I didn't think the courses were worth it. But it was worth it to come to Estonia to see that. It was worth it to fight over the jet lag. It was worth it to force myself to stay up until 5:30 in the morning hanging out with these people. It was worth it because I got to see all these aspiring marketers, analysts, people all over the world. I got to see how they're using my product. I got to see the effect that it has on them. I got to see that they are so confident that with what they learned with me, that they're like, oh, we need to go to conferences and keep on updating our knowledge. I got them to a certain point, and now they're going to these conferences and they're learning even more. And I'm not just saying that. When I close my eyes now, I can picture it. I've shaken the hands of real students. We've posed for pictures. They've even bought me beers. Like, this is a real thing. And I'll share a picture of one of the students that I met in the show notes. And speaking of students that I met, number five, I am not your guru. Or am I? Continuing on with number four, I genuinely had no idea the impact that my courses have already had in such a short amount of time. And yes, this is real. I'm not just being fake humble. I just didn't know. And then one of the students came up to me, and this is like about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night, and he goes, Jeff, you are my guru. Now he says it, you know, I could do an impression of him, but I don't think that'd be very fair to do an impression, but English was not his first language. Actually, English was his fourth language. But he genuinely came up to me and said that to me, and it had me feeling uneasy for the first time. Like, I've learned over the last few years how to accept praise and how to accept the compliment. Like, for probably up until 2 years ago, I couldn't even accept a compliment. I would just like say the same thing back to them. Like, they're like, hey, Jeff, I really like learning from you. And it's like, I like learning from you. I don't know why I would do that, because I was just an immature idiot, I guess, but I just couldn't take a compliment. So I've learned in the last 2 years how to take a compliment, just to say, hey, thank you. I appreciate that. That's all you need to do, right? You don't need to turn it around. Just accept the compliment and move on. But I've never been able to accept the guru thing because I've sort of been uneasy about that term, because I actually don't like the word guru. I always thought that a guru was a negative thing, like somebody leading you into something you shouldn't be doing. And so I didn't want to lead somebody into the choice they shouldn't make. But this guy, the guy with the English as a fourth language, it was genuine. It was real. And so I was like, man, how did this happen? Like, what's going on? I asked him about himself. What's your background? Where are you from? Why do you feel that way? What else, you know, what has happened in your career, you know? And he's like, I just started a career in marketing. I'm a year or two into it. I'm in my early 20s. I have a technical background. And this is his first conference, and he's there with his entire team. And it was just really interesting to get to know him a little bit more. And basically, he just gravitated towards what he had learned there. And then afterwards, you know, I think they all bought me a beer or something like that. And then they taught me their language. They showed me videos of their home brewery, like they're doing microbrews. We talked about the difference between different types of beers and everything like that. And I was even scolded by the project manager of the group, which means that I'm really accepted into the group when the project manager starts yelling at you and you're not even on their project. But it was just amazing. Now, I'm still trying to figure out what it means to be a guru and whether I should accept that title or whether I want to be. I still am very uncomfortable with it, but things couldn't have felt more normal at that time to say, okay, well, yes, this guy is looking for somebody to lead him into this world. And I'm, you know, fortunately, for whatever effect, he found my stuff, my course, and his team found it, and that's where they're learning. That's how they're learning how to utilize Google Analytics and how to get insights. So that's pretty amazing. Number six, you are my guru. Now, it's funny because I was inspired to do my presentation the way that I did it by two people who I very much consider to be my gurus in the web industry. I've always looked up to them. One is Rand Fishkin, and the other one is Avinash Kaushik. because they're real and they've helped me through many concepts over the years. And it's not just like the technical stuff. Actually, the technical stuff, I know that they don't listen to this podcast, so I don't think that I'll be offending them. But I think that from a technical perspective, they're good, but they're not the number one technical or most knowledgeable person in their industry. They're not the best practitioners because neither of them are really practitioners. But they talk about the feelings that go along with things, and they help me through the more strategic aspects of what I'm going through in my career. Like, how do you present? How do you handle growing a business? They talk about things that are more on point for me. And I learned to improve what I'm doing based on two things that they published. So one is Rand's article on the topic, and I'm going to link to that in the show notes. He basically says how to create a good presentation. Now, this is through no coincidence. I'm pretty sure that he wrote this article to me. I'll give you that setting. I didn't plan on it. It's not even in my notes to share this part, but we were at SMX Munich in 2015, and somehow I stupidly signed up to do two presentations at SMX Munich, and I had zero presentations ready when I went there. And so I go to SMX Munich, March 2015, and I hung out with Rand beforehand, and you know, we, Geraldine, his wife, and my wife, and Rand and I, we did some really fun touring around the Alps, the Bavarian Alps, just a great time. And then afterwards, I was like, oh crap, I haven't done either of my presentations. So I lock myself in the hotel room and do the presentations, go up in front of this German crowd, who's, I'll call it stoic, don't get a lot of out of them, and do my two presentations. I think they go all right, and the ratings come back, and I'm well below average. Like, you know, just terrible, just terribly below average on both these things. I don't think I'll ever get invited back to this conference. And then like a month or two later, Rand writes this article. It says, if you're going to go and speak at a conference, don't even come along to the conference unless you can do these few things. And then he talks about the things that you need to do to make better presentations, to make it worthwhile. And he even said, like, don't put yourself in the hotel room and not see the city working on your stupid presentation. And I was like, man, if this guy wasn't writing to me, he should have been, because this is exactly aimed towards me. Anyway, that made me better. I've put a lot, I read that post almost every presentation I do. But even better, believe it or not, is an even simpler one that I was inspired from Avinash. He put out a post earlier this month on his newsletter, and it was a simple framework that he had for making a really great presentation. And I was like, I'm going to try this out at my Elite Camp presentation. And his formula is that if you have knowledge, like deep knowledge in something, plus passion, plus a simple deck, you're going to kill it in your presentation. And I was like, okay, well, that seems like it's oversimplifying it. But then I was like, man, he's right. Because I usually have, I think that I have always had a lot of knowledge, but I was not letting my passion come through in how I presented it, because I confused knowledge for passion. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Like, how could I possibly confuse knowledge for passion? Well, because I thought that studying for knowledge was a sign of passion. I thought that if I got the knowledge, it would just be rubbed off on you that I was passionate about it, because I spent time going through it. I pored over thousands of articles and thought pieces to come up with my topic of expertise. But it turns out that no, that's not the same. Knowledge and passion are not the same thing. You need to have your knowledge throughout the presentation, but you also have to bring passion to your presentation. And yes, that is the most obvious advice now that I think about it. So I'm glad that I have a guru that helped me bring it to the surface, because I didn't think that. And now that I see it, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And now it's a framework I can go for. Am I hitting on all three of those things? Number 7. Don't apologize for hustling. Now, among the many conversations I had during the conference, probably the one that stood out the most was when a new friend of mine was talking about their strategy and how they get so many followers and shares and how they were simply hustling to get noticed. And then they apologized for it. They said, I know that I'm not supposed to be using the word hustle. I know I'm supposed to be not supposed to be proud of hustling, but that's what I do in order to get noticed. That's what I had to do in order to make a difference, to make an impact. As if I would be frowning on somebody who is working hard to get noticed, to stand out, to get the reach that they deserve. And I thought to myself, and I said this to them, I go, don't ever apologize to me for hustling. Apologize to me for being mediocre, for being unmotivated, but never apologize for the hustle. Number 8, this 1981 model American domestic car of a man does not run very well on alcohol and baguettes. Yes, I just turned 36 last month, and I can say that I'm starting to get too old for all-night parties. I don't know if I've ever been up through sunrise and sunset in the same day multiple times, but the past few days, trying to recover from this has had me feeling like Danny Glover sitting on the toilet in Lethal Weapon 2. And I will link to a YouTube video because it's just hilarious. But, you know, the classic line in Lethal Weapon, Danny Glover is like, I'm getting too old for this shit. And that's sort of how I felt about this. Number 9, living out of a suitcase. Up until this most recent talk, I rarely talked about my travels in presentations. Usually I would just say, hey, I'm Jeff and I live out of a suitcase, before moving on to the knowledge piece of the presentation. But this time I wove my travels into the presentation, and that was how I told the story. And it had an interesting effect. Of the hundreds of people who came up to me at the conference after my presentation, the majority were the most interested in my travels. They wanted to know how my travel worked, where I liked to visit, and whether I thought they should do the same. They wanted to know about finances, my disposition, logistics, happiness, and how they could achieve their goals, how they could do the same thing. And these were some of my most interesting conversations of all. And it was refreshing to step outside of the marketing bubble and talk about something new. But that's what I mean when I say weaving in your story. I've woven a story about how during my travels, all these things happened to me, and I wondered how that affected marketing. Now, everybody can relate to things like travel, even if it's just domestic or if it's just down the street. People can relate to signs. People can relate to weddings. And so I incorporated some real stories into this thing, and it really made a big difference. And I think that's the reason why people were so excited about it, because they actually could picture themselves there where I was, and they could picture themselves how they would solve the problem. It doesn't work that way when you're just sharing knowledge and you're just sharing facts, you're just sharing screenshots of stuff. And so that was really interesting to me, and that was a very valuable lesson that I took away from this. And then number 10, I'm going to keep on hustling. Now, when I look back at what I achieved over the last 2 years being a full-time traveler, I'm amazed at the results. I launched 2 new courses, a new podcast, a growing newsletter. I've had international speaking gigs. I've taught at universities. I've taught at trade schools. I've gone into agencies and helped them get better. I've gone into companies and helped them get better at analytics. I'm getting requests for expertise coming through every single day. And I have a lot of positive vibes out there in the marketing world. And it was never more clear than when people were coming up to me and shaking my hand and saying thank you for all that I've done. Now, it might seem appropriate to stop doing everything and bask in the glory, pat myself on the back, and just sleep for like the next 2 years. But that's bullshit. Instead, I'm going to double down on what is working. Like my friend Sujan Patel said in his presentation, when you find something that works, double down on it. That's what most marketers don't do very well. They get afraid to do it. They think that, oh, we've already checked that box. We're going to keep on moving on. I'm going to keep on hustling. I'm going to keep on building a brand. And you, I hope you can keep on hustling as well, because you should never apologize for hustling. For show notes, visit jefflytics.com/hustle.